Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. Vegan Nation is an informational program about living the vegan lifestyle, featuring interviews with individuals and organizations who are practicing a healthy vegan lifestyle. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this radio station, nor its management. This is a rebroadcast of an earlier program. Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. This is part two of the interview with Shell Harrison, the primary author and editor of The Abolition Amendment, which was published on December 6th, 2016. Thank you very much, Shell, for joining us again on Vegan Nation.
Thank you, Marlene. So glad to be talking with you.
Well, me too. And that was so interesting hearing about the process of the Abolition Amendment. And from our last conversation, we talked about the comparison of the proto-abolition movement of the 1800s to the abolition movement today to end all slavery, especially, too, that it is inclusive. And so this is of interest and importance to human rights activists as well, such as you mentioned about the for-profit prison system.
Yes, that exception is something that people are not really aware of in the general population, I don't believe, but it is becoming more well-known, and certainly that initiative in Colorado has brought some publicity to the issue.
Can you give us a introduction to what the Abolition Amendment means?
Well, so the Abolition Amendment is a proposed amendment to the U.S. Constitution. It is modeled on the 13th Amendment in part, and it is a new proposed amendment that will abolish the property status of animals in the U.S. So it will be granting legal personhood to animals, and in so doing, it will essentially end the animal exploitation industries.
Fabulous. Thank you. So let's continue on now with Section 4 of the Abolition Amendment.
Section 4 here is where in the Abolition Amendment we deal with the issue of what is an animal. So what kind of organism essentially would be able to benefit from the protections of the Abolition Amendment? So first I'll just read Section 4 here. Congress may modify the definition of animal for the purposes of this article to accord with advances in science, except that in no event shall this definition exclude any organism with an observable capacity to fear, grieve, or experience pain. An organism's possession of a central nervous system shall be sufficient but not necessary proof of such capacity. So that's the end of Section 4. Now, a couple of things about this section. There are areas in current scientific taxonomy where people will argue as to what qualifies as an animal. And so that term is something that we were concerned about in drafting this amendment. It actually, in the very first draft that was published last December 25th of 2015, the first draft actually used the phrase sentient being. But that phrase also is somewhat problematic. It's a little esoteric and kind of clinical for what we're actually trying to get done here with the Abolition Amendment. Nonetheless, with the word animal, there's also, in scientific taxonomy, there are areas of disagreement among scientists as to what exactly should qualify. I mean, we have this kingdom, the phylum of Animalia there, but that definition may or may not be something that we would want to be staying with over the long haul. A constitutional amendment might theoretically will last for hundreds of years, and certainly we've seen that the Constitution is already over 200 years old, so this language needs to be adaptable. And as we discover new organisms and discover perhaps new forms of life, it could be that this definition will change over time. So what we did here was provide a way for that definition to evolve while also providing some boundaries beyond which that definition can't move. And those boundaries are established first with the phrase of the animal that is going to benefit from the protection of this amendment. That definition cannot be changed to exclude any organism that will fear, grieve, or experience pain, that has the capacity to fear, grieve, or experience pain. Now, the reason why we went with those words in particular, and they're definitely not the only way to have gone here. However, they do capture a sort of spectrum of the different ways that an organism can be sentient, or at least get into that category of being the kind of organism that we would want to protect. So, for instance, there's a kind of chronology to it. Fear is the ability to perceive that something bad might happen to you in the future. And that's certainly something we can observe in ourselves and in other animals when we run away from something that scares us. So that is one way to show that an organism is capable of perception and is percipient, is through their exhibiting fear. Grief, on the other hand, would be retrospective. That looks into the past, the downside or whatever, the aftermath of having formed a bond and then losing, the other half of that bond. So between fear looking forward and grief looking backward, we're able to capture two different ways of perceiving. And they're both kind of recognizing that internal perception of the organism happening. And then, of course, the third way, and this is the most clear example probably, is just that of experiencing pain. Certainly, that's a hallmark trait of being able to perceive something. Now, all three of these are negative. You know, fear is a negative kind of term. Grief is negative. Experiencing pain is negative. And so at least one criticism that we've had is that why not phrase these positively and say, what about animals who can experience joy? What about animals that can experience happiness? Well, the purpose of this phrase is simply to make sure that we are including sentient beings into the category of animal, into the category of protected being. If an animal can experience joy, then they can probably experience grief. You know, if an animal can be happy and hopeful, then they can probably also experience fear and pain. So it's the kind of thing where phrasing them negatively, it may sound unduly grim, but it nonetheless does a good job of identifying the types of organisms who should be benefiting from the protections of this article. We provide a final sentence there that just says, if an organism has a central nervous system, then they definitely qualify. So that is a way to show that you meet the criteria, but that's not the only way to show that you meet this criteria, these criteria.
We're listening to Shel Harrison, the primary author and editor of the Abolition Amendment, which was published on December 6th, 2016. This is Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow. And let's go on to Section 5.
Well, Section 5 is kind of the easy part. It's a very important part, but that's just a transplant from prior amendments. So, for instance, the end of the 13th Amendment is just Congress shall have power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. And then again, here in Section 5 of the Abolition Amendment, Congress shall have the power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. So it's just an enabling provision that enables Congress to do whatever else they need to do in order to make it stick, in order for the promises of the Abolition Amendment to become real and to benefit actual animals that are out there suffering and being confined and so on. Again, it's one thing to promise somebody rights and promise them freedom and liberty on paper, but it's another thing to make it real and give them actual liberty so that they can go out and feel the grass beneath their feet and see the sun above their head kind of thing. So Congress is given this power, just as it is in other constitutional amendments, so that they can do what they need to get done. In the case of the 13th Amendment, for instance, there have been many, many pieces of congressional legislation that have relied upon this enabling power from the 13th Amendment to then enact other legislation, like, for instance, the Civil Rights Act of 1866, which was the first major piece of legislation that immediately followed the 13th Amendment and provided such an important next step in the process. So Section 5 here just grants Congress that same power.
Certainly. And Shel, that was great to hear all the details of Section 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 of the Abolition Amendment. Could you please give us a recap of the comparison of the proto-abolition movement of the 1800s to the Abolition Amendment today, especially for those who might have missed last week's interview?
Okay. So the 13th Amendment, of course, was the amendment that officially ended human slavery in the United States. The Abolition Amendment reuses Section 1 of the 13th Amendment, but it extends those protections of the 13th Amendment to include all animals, not just limited to humans. So, for instance, we call the ending of human slavery proto-abolition, and then the ending of all slavery just abolition.
Thanks. And also some review of that Section 1 that involved the loophole.
So, of course, as has been becoming more commonly known in recent times, the 13th Amendment has an exception built into it. I'll read it here. Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States. So there's that exception of slavery or involuntary servitude as punishment. And that exception is what takes away what would otherwise be a very powerful argument against for-profit prisons, private prisons, and the use of forced labor in the prison system generally of human beings. This was recently brought to national attention, at least briefly, through an initiative in Colorado that recently tried to remove that provision that is echoed in the Colorado Constitution, which has that same exception. So human rights activists and people who oppose the prison industrial complex as it is now and the for-profit prison system as we have now definitely want to get that provision removed, and that gives them a nice incentive to go ahead and support the Abolition Amendment.
Thank you, Shell. And Shell, we're coming to a close in the interview. Is there any additional message that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, I would just say that anyone can support the Abolition Amendment. The process of developing it was led by the Humane Party, which has led this process for several years. But anyone can support and should support the Abolition Amendment, and they can bring that to their own political party of choice if they're working with, say, the Green Party or the Libertarian Party or Democrat or Republican parties. We would encourage them to try to get those parties to change their platforms and commit to a final end to slavery, not just of humans, but also of other animals.
Thank you, Shell Harrison.
Thank you, Marlene. So glad to talk to you.
Yeah, this is great. I'm so happy that you're with us this week and that you joined us last week as we discussed the Abolition Amendment and also the comparison of the proto-abolition movement from the 1800s and the 13th Amendment to today's Abolition Amendment.
Thank you, Marlene. This has been a lot of fun, and I sure appreciate being on your program here, and I always look forward to hearing your next program and have enjoyed listening to your others.
Thank you very much, Shell. We've been joined by Shell Harrison, the primary author and editor of The Abolition Amendment, which was published on December 6th, Abolition Day, 2016. This concludes part two of the interview with Shell Harrison, who is also a lawyer and law teacher. Shell has joined us via Skype. Thanks again, Shell, for joining us on Vegan Nation. You are greatly appreciated.
Thank you. You too, Marlene. Thank you.
To learn more about the Abolition Amendment, please visit abolitionamendment.wordpress.com and also on the website humaneparty.org. That's humaneparty.org. This is Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene Narrow. After this short break, we'll hear more about the Abolition Amendment, as well as a very special holiday surprise.
Hi, this is
the Boys and Girls Club of Worcester.
You're listening to WCUW
91.3 FM.
Worcester!
Tune in to Vegan Nation for music, news, and events about the vegan lifestyle, right here on WCUW 91.3 FM and around the world at WCUW.org.
You're listening to Community Radio for a global audience, broadcasting from the heart of the Commonwealth in Worcester, Massachusetts. That's WCUW Worcester 91.3 FM.
Welcome back from the break. This is Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. Before the break, we were joined by Shell Harrison, the primary author and editor of The Abolition Amendment. Shell is also a lawyer and law teacher. At the end of today's show, we'll be going out with the full recital of The Abolition Amendment. And now, here's a special feature, the first vegan-themed Christmas book. So here's a special gift where the vegan geezer is reading Santa's First Vegan Christmas, written by Robin Raven and illustrated by Cara Maria Schunk.
Merry Christmas present, everyone.
Would you like to read it now?
Yes.
So
Santa's first vegan Christmas. Twas the night before Christmas, and in Arctic places reindeer were playing, enjoying their races. Their tundra was blanketed with new fallen snow, as reindeer were laughing, dancing in a row. The youngest reindeer were running around. Calves outrun men by leaps and bounds. No humans could be found in this serene paradise, so the reindeer frolicked, kicking up the ice. Ding ding, sounded bells from out of the blue, startling Dana, a calf whose courage soon grew. Away the reindeer ran to protect one another, yet Dana was left behind as she rushed to help her brother. Santa appeared, and he searched far and wide. He was looking for new friends to join his yearly ride. As he gazed at the tundra, what did his wandering eyes find there? Sweet little Dana, the most beautiful reindeer. He went right to his work, whistling for her to come near. Dana wasn't to be fooled, of that she made clear. Look over there, Dana said as away she whirled. With that, she knew she was a most clever girl. Oh, how brave, and what trouble she was destined to stir. She tossed away the harness Santa had intended for her. Santa huffed and he puffed till he was red in the face. All right, you, he said. I can't keep up this pace. I've got presents to deliver, and I need some help now. If you won't do it, who will? Your cousin the cow? There's a better way, Dana said with a slow smile. I know you're good at heart. Now please, listen a while. Santa, look, I know you meant no harm. You're just going along with the cultural norm. But horses pulling carriages, reindeers pulling sleighs, it's all got to end, and I mean starting today. How things are, they're not always right. Think about how you would feel if this were your plight. It just isn't nice. Dana looked him in the eye and glanced away as Santa nodded and sighed. Santa imagined the uncomfortable harness. With a solemn nod, he saw the truth unvarnished. He looked to Dana as she walked in his direction. She nuzzled his hand and he smiled at the pure connection. Dana whispered, "Don't be sad. We can all be more kind." Santa nodded. So many thoughts were new to his mind. "It's not too late to change," Santa spoke to the fawn. "I can still make everything right before dawn." "All earthlings should be respected," Santa announced. His gleeful awakening made him twist, turn and bounce. Santa was excited about what he now believed, and he left the reindeer on the tundra completely free. Dana helped Santa create a shiny new sleigh, one powered on fun, love and star rays. Along with presents for every girl and boy, they prepared to give out a new kind of joy. Santa danced into houses all over the world that night. He set about his new work, making wrong things right. For starters, he set all the caged birds free. Then he helped all the trapped fish escape to the sea. Dana rode in a sleigh and helped rescue new friends. Newly freed horses danced in the wind. Chained dogs were set free. They ran to Santa's embrace. Needy children were saved at the same rapid pace. Santa and Dana worked together in the lovely moonlight. There was much to accomplish on this magical night. They left food for the hungry, money for the poor, leaving enough for all until they couldn't ask for more. They didn't stop there, with deeds to do and presents to carry. Cows, pigs and chickens were moved to sanctuaries, so were rabbits, rats and all beings in need. Santa Claus was proud of his many good deeds. When the world awoke on Christmas Day, Santa and Dana were flying over Mobile Bay. The children cheered and shouted their names, and Santa knew things would never be the same. People tried less taking and a lot more giving. They became happier with this new way of living. They realized all species need to be protected, and sentient beings must be respected. Santa was happier than ever that Christmas day. The peace in his heart was there to stay. Dana became a legend in her very own time. She was kinder than ever in the midst of her prime. Animals from all over gathered at the North Pole Beacon. They rejoiced and sang carols of peace, love and freedom. Dana's family joined Santa and Mrs. Claus as the day's kindness united hands, hooves and paws.
Santa's first vegan Christmas. written by Robin Raven and illustrated by Cara Maria Schunk, published by Vegan Publishers, right here in Danvers, Massachusetts. On December 25th, 2015, the first draft of the Abolition Amendment was published. And on December 6th, 2016, the final draft of the Abolition Amendment was published. Here's a replay of Shel Harrison, who joined us prior to the break.
Anyone can support the Abolition Amendment. The process of developing it was led by the Humane Party, which has led this process for several years. But anyone can support and should support the Abolition Amendment, and they can bring that to their own political party of choice if they're working with, say, the Green Party or the Libertarian Party or Democrat or Republican parties. We would encourage them to try to get those parties to change their platforms and commit to a final end to slavery, not just of humans, but also of other animals.
Primary author and editor of the Abolition Amendment is Shel Harrison, a lawyer and law teacher. And here's my thank you to Shel Harrison. Quote, "A human being is part of the whole, called by us universe, a part limited in time and space. He experiences himself, his thoughts and feeling, as something separated from the rest, a kind of optical delusion of his consciousness. This delusion is a kind of prison for us, restricting us to our personal desires and to affection for a few persons nearest to us. Our task must be to free ourselves from this prison by widening our circle of compassion, to embrace all living creatures and the whole of nature in its beauty." Albert Einstein. I'd like to say a special thanks to all the volunteers who drafted the Abolition Amendment, published on December 6, 2016. Here is the Abolition Amendment, read by Gretchen Ryan, a Los Angeles-based artist and vegan activist.
The Abolition Amendment, Section 1. Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude of any animal shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. Section 2. Congress shall, within 2 years of ratification hereof, establish a system whereby the writ of habeas corpus shall be available to ensure the rights of any animal or group of animals. Section 3. Congress shall, within 2 years of ratification hereof, establish a system whereby every animal or group of animals who does not have a guardian shall be provided a guardian ad litem when necessary to protect the rights of the animal or group. Neither biological, behavioral, nor situational differences between potential members of a group shall preclude or hinder their inclusion in a group. Neither birth, entry, departure, death, or other change of members of a group shall require reauthorization of the group's guardian or recertification of the group. Any natural person legally present in a U.S. jurisdiction and willing to serve diligently, competently, and faithfully as such guardian shall have standing to petition a court of competent jurisdiction that such guardian be assigned. The petitioner may, but need not be, the person ultimately selected by such court to serve as such guardian. Section 4. Congress may modify the definition of animal for the purposes of this article to accord with the advances in science, except that in no event shall this definition exclude any organism with an observable capacity to fear, grieve, or experience pain. An organism's possession of a central nervous system shall be sufficient, but not necessary, proof of such capacity. Section 5. Congress shall have the power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation.
That was the Abolition Amendment, a proposed amendment to the U.S. Constitution. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Let's go out with To Be Free by Will Tuttle, followed by Cool to Live by DJ KVM, featuring Chestnut and Bianca McCann. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. The views expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station nor its management.
Door. Plus two liquor stores and a dog park. Talk about an eyesore when the polls bark. Have you ever seen a collard green when they grow up? No, show up. But why they murder kings, though? Because they scared of a brother who knows how to grow. Plus, you got the hip-hop dress. No process. Only eat that vegan food. I digest deeper than a subway. See me in the underground, living in the earthship, living off my urban sound. Gotta keep it fresh and get some land and maintain. Because everywhere I go, see things ain't the same. Everywhere I go, son, things ain't the same.
And it's cool. So cool, and it's cool to me.
Keep your head high and the struggle don't fall out. Keep your health tight, be ready to ball out. Speak truth to power, we got to move now. We gotta maintain the state the same now. Tell you used to let a drink, it ain't the same now. Natural gas up in the water, make your faucet flame out. You want some change now? You want some change now? Hotter than the sun's core, drilling for the oil, fracking at the earth's core. Good thing we all stood up to that keystone mess. Grow a garden for stress with echinacea. And Russian sage for opalanga on that raw food diet. Have you checked the price again? And maybe you should try it. I'm from the old school. That's what them elders say. Mentally free, but still eat like slavery. Digitally, I'm trying to see 2020 and be on.
And earth in my eyes, the soil in my thighs, and the branches of my flesh. Highlight maps to heaven, hard to read, I do my best. I'm heaving in my chest, my hands entwined with roots. Simple, sprouting fast, we can grow just what we choose. What you holding close to truth, can you make the people listen? To cataclysmic secrets in the chasms, make a mission. But we were climbing like Jack on them beanstalks. And with these glass ceilings growing up, the tree stops. It's Big Bang framing when the seed pops its shell. The tide ebbs and swells, we can't feel it from a cell. They opened up a jail, closed down the school. But keep your cool, son, not letting the heat wave. Make you sweat is rule one. Jewels won't turn to sustenance and food when the warming of the globe is done.
And it's cool, 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 so cool, and it's cool to me now. And it's cool, so cool, and it's cool, and it's cool, and it's cool, so cool, and it's cool to me now.
I'd like to thank all the vegan musicians for their contributions and all the vegan activists for your work as we continue on to create a paradigm of freedom and health for all beings. Thanks for listening, Vegan Nation. Join us next week at this time where we'll bring you more news on living a vegan lifestyle. This is Marlene Narrow wishing you a good day.